Mary's entire life was a life of emotional pain. We don't think about that. First, she has an unexplained birth. And she has to say to her fiancé, whom she's never had sex with, "Honey, I'm pregnant, but I've never had sex with anybody. And by the way, the baby is the Son of God." Right. Would you believe that?
Pastor Rick Warren says that every word Jesus spoke was important and has life-changing power. There are seven words in particular that Jesus spoke during his final hours on the cross that hold the keys for finding fulfillment in your life, career, and relationships. Thanks for joining us here today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue in a brand new series called The Seven Greatest Words of Love. Now in just a few moments, we're going to let you know how to get the Seven Greatest Words of Love DVD study kit that can be used for independent Bible study or with a small group. This kit is sure to help you grow closer to the Lord. If you'd like to take a sneak peek while you listen to today's broadcast, just go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 99000. That's the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called The Word of Love.
Now, here's what the Bible says about meeting practical needs in your family. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. "Show respect for widows who are really all alone. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, they..." He's talking to the church here. He says the church should show respect to all widows and take care of them. But he says, "If that widow has children or grandchildren, they," those kids and grandchildren, "should learn first to carry out their religious duties toward their family." Circle the phrase "religious duties." Did you know that you have religious duties to your family? "And in this way," in caring for the practical needs of your family, "in this way, we repay their parents and grandparents, because that is what pleases God." You want to please God? Take care of your elderly father. You want to please God? Take care of your elderly mother. Now, we all know we're supposed to take care of our kids. Did you know that the Bible says you're supposed to take care of your parents? Many of you are now in that situation because people are living longer and longer. Love begins at home. Look at this next verse, 1 Timothy 5:8. "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Uh-oh. That's a powerful verse. He's denied the faith and he's worse than an unbeliever if you're not taking care of your aged parents. Do you realize this is how you learn to love like God? Loving like God is taking care of people who can't take care of you, who can't give you anything back at that point. You know, I honor my wife for how I watched her take care of both of my father and her father in their last days, who both died of cancer, and my sister was involved in that. And I remember watching my wife nurse and care for my father and nurse and care for her father, and doing exactly what God says to do, and I honor her for doing that. I remember when Bert, right before Bert died, Kay's dad, I brought him and I brought his wife, Bobby, my mother-in-law, into the room, and I sat down and I said, "Pop, I know you are worried about what's going to happen to your wife after you die," because he knew he was dying. I said, "I promise you before God, I will take care of your wife as long as she lives." And I have. And I have. And I have provided for her since that time. Why? That's what God wants us to do, to learn to love like Jesus and to take care of it. Now listen, some of you, you're going to have parents who get dementia or they get Alzheimer's. And you're going to have to tell them the same thing 15 times over and over and over. And that may get frustrating. But when you show patience and when you're loving, even when you've told them 15 times, you're being like Jesus. You're being like Christ. We show love like Jesus in honoring our families. How? By paying attention, by meeting practical needs. And then there's a third way, write this down, by giving emotional support. By giving emotional support. And God wants us to learn how to do this just like he does with us. Now, this is a very tender scene when you actually think about Jesus and his mother in his final moments of life. He's hanging on the cross. Mary is brokenhearted. She's watching her son suffer incredible agony. Can you imagine being a mother and watching your child hang on the cross? Standing with her is John, Jesus' best friend. He is in agony, not understanding why Jesus, he knows Jesus is the Son of God. Why does he have to go through all this pain? Why does he have to put up with this ridicule, all of this torture, all this suffering? And not only that, when you think about it, Mary's entire life was a life of emotional pain. We don't think about that. But her entire life was a life of emotional pain. First, she has an unexplained birth. And she has to say to her fiancé, whom she's never had sex with, "Honey, I'm pregnant, but I've never had sex with anybody. And by the way, the baby is the Son of God." Right. Would you believe that? And you imagine all of the ridicule, all of the gossip, all of the shame that was heaped on her in her village, because who would believe such an outrageously fanatical story? So just even the announcement of Jesus' birth, he hadn't even been born yet, she is bearing enormous pain.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and our series called The Seven Greatest Words of Love. There's more coming up. And when you have a minute, be sure to check out PastorRick.com for tons of great resources. While you're there, go ahead and sign up for his free daily email devotional and free podcast. And follow Rick on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Pastor Rick Warren says that every word Jesus spoke was important and had life-changing power. That's why Rick has put together an amazing 7-session DVD study kit called The Seven Greatest Words of Love. In it, he focuses on the last 7 statements that Jesus spoke during his final hours on the cross. These words unlock the full meaning and amazing blessings of Jesus' last words before his resurrection. Words of forgiveness, assurance, love, trust, and more. We'll send you a copy of the study kit to say thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get yours. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can call 800-600-5004. Again, call 800-600-5004. Thanks so much for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
And then the Bible says that after the baby was born, they took Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem to be dedicated. And Simeon, the wise priest, comes out and he blesses and he dedicates Jesus as a little baby. And then he takes Mary aside and said, by the way, I need to tell you something. Your baby's going to suffer. Serious suffer. Major pain. Oh, and by the way, you're going to go through it too. And it's going to pierce your heart. How'd you like, as a new mother, first child, be told your baby's going to suffer throughout life, and by the way, you will too? And then when Jesus is just a couple years old, the king of Palestine, Herod, decides, I don't want this Messiah to be around, so we're going to kill every baby under 2. And Mary has to flee her home country with Joseph and a 2-year-old and flee to Egypt, knowing that babies are being killed because of her son. How'd you like to carry that pain? How'd you like to carry that pain? And then as Jesus grows up and he begins his ministry, and we see all of the criticism that he gets, and all of the angry hometown crowd, where one time in his hometown, they try to throw Jesus off a cliff. How'd you like to be his mom at that point? How would you talk to your neighbors after that? How would you talk to your neighbors who just tried to kill your son? That's painful. That's painful. She saw the crowd turn against him, even in spite of all the miracles and the resurrected dead. And now this. He's tortured as a criminal. Now a gory, gruesome, bloody death. And Jesus has nail-pierced hands, but Mary has a nail-pierced heart. And she is in emotional agony. And she felt those nails that only a mother could feel as she watched her son slowly die. She needed emotional support. The Bible says this, Proverbs 17:17, friends love through all kinds of weather, and families stick together in all kinds of trouble. Circle the word stick together. That's the third way you show Christ-like love in your family. You stick together. You show up, you stand up, and you hold up. And like a great mom, Mary is there when everybody else flaked out. She was there when everybody else deserted her son. She's there. That's real love. I mean, think about this. Do you do that with your kids? Do you show up? Do you stand up? Do you hold up? Do you speak up? Where are you when your kids are being crucified at school? Do you say, oh, brush it off? Or do you get in there and stand up and speak up? Are you there when your kids are being crucified? Are you there when they're in trouble? While we're at it, since we're talking to family, let's talk to the guys for a minute. Look at this verse on the screen. Husbands, love your wives. How? Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for. Folks, I flunk at this one. I'm not real good at it. I love my wife. I love her to death. I really do. But I can't say that I love her like Jesus Christ loved the church. And I doubt there's any husband here who can say that. But that's what God wants us guys to learn. You know, some people are real upset that the Bible makes it real clear that in a marriage, the husband is to be the leader of the family. That doesn't mean they're not equal. It doesn't mean they're not of equal value. Just you can't have two leaders. And the Bible says the husband is to be the leader. But what does a leader do? The leader gets to sacrifice the most. Not once in Scripture is a woman or a wife told to lay down her life for her husband. Not once. My wife is not commanded to lay down her life for me. I am commanded to lay down my life for her. That's what leadership's all about. Leadership leads the sacrifice. I am to sacrifice more than her. She's not supposed to sacrifice more than me. The Bible doesn't command that. It commands that me as a leader, leaders lead by serving. Leaders lead by sacrificing. That's learning to love like Jesus. And I would say to you husbands, does your wife know you'd die for her? You say, well, yeah, I think she does. She know you'd take out the trash for her? That might be harder. That might be harder. I do know this, and I'm trying to learn in this area. I do know this, that the more I love Jesus, the more I love my wife. And God gave me my wife to learn Christ-like love. And God gave you your spouse to learn Christ-like love. They don't exist for your benefit. The purpose of marriage is not to simply make you happy, but to make you holy. To teach you to grow up. To teach you to be unselfish. And unfortunately, a lot of people would rather divorce than give up unselfishness. Now, if I'm going to learn to be like Jesus, the first place it starts is not on a peace trip. The first place it starts is not in the Peace Center. The first place it starts is not in some ministry at the church. The first place real love shows up is in the home. Jesus, in the middle of his pain, he pays attention to his mom. He meets her practical needs. He provides for her, and he gives her the emotional support she needs in that moment. Now, here's the second thing. If we are to practice loving like Jesus, I must treat other believers as my family. I must treat other believers as my family. Now we're going even deeper. There are a lot of people who love their family, but that can be total self-centeredness. I'm just going to protect what's mine. I couldn't care about the rest of the world and go to hell for all I care. But the Bible says that real love is learning to treat other believers in your church family as actual family. You treat them as good as you treat your family. You must care about your family, but you must care for more than your family. If all you do is care about your family, that's not enough. I mean, an unbeliever can do that. If you are going to be Christ-like loving, then you must not only care about your family, you must care about more than your family. You must care about God's family, your brothers and sisters in the family of God. You know, you've heard the old phrase, blood is thicker than water. Yeah, well, that's true. But grace is thicker than genetics. And you're supposed to care about, you know, physical families don't last, but the spiritual family does last. Your physical family isn't going to last. People grow up, people die, people move away, people get divorced. There's all kinds of reasons why physical families don't last. They don't. But your spiritual family is going to last forever. And if you follow Jesus, we're family. And the Bible is clear that we're to treat each other as family. Look at these verses. Matthew 12, verse 50. It's up here on the screen. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. So that makes us related. You're to treat me as well as you treat your family. I'm to treat you as well as I treat my family. We're to treat each other as relatives in the family of God. Look at the next verse, 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2. Do not rebuke an older man in the church, but appeal to him as your father. Treat the younger men in the church as your brothers. Treat the older women in the church as your mothers. And treat the younger women in the church as your sisters with all purity. So I've got a lot of brothers in this family. I got a lot of spiritual sisters in this family. I got some spiritual fathers in this family who've been Christians longer than me. The only thing I don't have is spiritual mothers, because I haven't found a woman to admit to being a, quote, older woman. So I have some 95-year-old spiritual sisters in this church. But you have a responsibility to serve. Listen, if you are a genuine follower of Christ, it is your responsibility to serve the older believers in the church and to mentor the younger believers in the church. I didn't make that up. That's what God says. It is your responsibility, if you call yourself a Christian, to serve the older people in the church and to mentor the younger people in the church. There's a real symmetry about this third word. You see, Jesus leaned on Mary as a child. And the Bible tells us that John, the beloved disciple, leaned on Jesus as a disciple. And now Jesus tells them to lean on each other. To lean on each other. We're to be devoted to each other. Romans 12, 10. Be devoted to each other like a loving family. Excel in showing respect for each other. I think that includes stick up for each other. Now, let me just point out something here. It's quite interesting. The Bible tells us, maybe you don't realize this, but the Bible tells us that Jesus had 4 half-brothers and 2 half-sisters. You know, because Joseph and Mary were the parents of all the others. Mary was just the parent of Jesus. Joseph was not the father of Jesus. He was the stepfather of Jesus. She was a virgin when he was born. But the Bible tells us, in fact, it even tells us the names of Jesus' 4 half-brothers. One of them was a guy named James, who actually wrote the book of James in the Bible. And so Jesus had 4 half-brothers, and he had 2, and we know at least 2 half-sisters, and they show up many times in Scripture where they are watching him do miracles, and a couple times they try to talk him out of some stuff and things like that. It's interesting that as Jesus is dying, he does not entrust the care of his mother to his half-brothers or his half-sister. Why in the world did he do that? Why didn't he just say to his half-brothers and sisters, take care of mom? Because John 7, verse 5 said none of them had become believers yet. It wasn't until after the resurrection, people go, he really is the Son of God. And then his brothers, half-brothers, sisters, all became believers. In fact, James became one of the leaders of the church of Jerusalem because, I'm in. I saw my half-brother walking around and rise again and talking. I'm in. Can you imagine being Jesus' brother, sister growing up? He's always right. He never cheats in the game. When you say, but Mom, Jesus did it. Mary goes, James, you know he didn't do it. That would have been very, very rough growing up with a perfect brother who literally was perfect. I don't think I would believe in him either. But the resurrection would make a believer out of me. But he entrusts his mom to the care of John because John is a mature believer. Now, we're to give special attention to other people in our church families. Look at the Bible. Galatians 6:10. Whenever we have the opportunity to help anyone, we should do it. But we should give special attention to those who belong to the family of believers. And one of the things we're to do is give emotional support. Galatians 6:2. Share each other's troubles and problems. And in this way, obey the law of Christ. We are to carry each other's burdens in the church. Now, there's only one way you can do that. Here comes the small group sermon. You need to be in a small group. How many times are we going to say this? You don't really feel like you're part of this family until you're in a small group. If you got needs right now, and you got problems going on, how in the world is everybody supposed to know about that? It's impossible. But you get in a small group, somebody knows when you're sick. Somebody knows when you're in the hospital. Somebody knows when you just got laid off. Somebody knows when you're going through a tough time in a court case or a tax case or whatever. And you can be there for them and they can be there for you. You need to be in a small group.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Now, if you missed any part of today's message, no problem. Just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. And while you're at it, sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. And remember to click on his social media links too. Pastor Rick Warren says that every word Jesus spoke was important and has life-changing power. That's why Rick has put together an amazing 7-session DVD study kit called The 7 Greatest Words of Love. In it, he focuses on the last 7 statements that Jesus spoke during his final hours on the cross. These words unlock the full meaning and amazing blessings of Jesus' last words before his resurrection. Words of forgiveness, assurance, love, trust, and more. We'll send you a copy of this study kit as a way to say thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get yours. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. Again, just call 800-600-5004. And thanks so much for your support. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
You know, I really like to end these broadcasts by reading some of the letters that come in from you. They always encourage me, and I think when I read them, they encourage you. This one's from a woman named Joy. She says, thank you so much, Pastor Rick, for the Daily Hope devotional messages that are emailed to me. They help me get through tough times. She said, I feel like I didn't have the right to question God, but I wondered why he was letting me experience all these things. But now, through these devotionals, I look on what's happening as a challenge for my betterment. And I may not know all of God's reasons in this moment, but I believe that God will not let me down, and instead I believe he'll guide me in the right path where his help, his guidance, his forgiveness, and his blessings and his prayers are always abundant. Thank you. Signed, Joy. Well, thank you, Joy. I'm encouraged by your faith, and I know other people will be too who hear this letter. You know, we can always trust that God's in control, even when we don't understand why things are happening. And it blesses me when I hear people like you finding hope. That's the whole purpose of this program. Thanks for listening today, and join me next time as we continue looking in God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.